This is Leonard Nimoy. We're in the garden of an elegant hotel in Casablanca. It is August, the hottest month of the year in North Africa, and there are very few tourists now. In fact, the hotel is almost empty. But here is a tall, pretty blonde, obviously not a native of Morocco. She could be English or American or Swedish, perhaps. And she is alone. She looks as if she's been sightseeing all day long. She sinks gratefully into a chair and fans herself with her straw sun hat.
Garçon, may I have some mint tea, please, and some biscuits?
Oui, madame.
And perhaps some stale bread to feed the pigeons?
Oui, madame.
Oh, kittens? Oh, bonjour, madame.
Bonjour, madame.
But you're American, aren't you?
Yes, I am. You too?
Yes, of course. You're the first American I've seen on this trip. And I think we're the only guests in this hotel. Oh, what darling kittens. Oh, they're so tiny. Where did you find them?
Right here in this basket. They keep trying to climb through the hedge. Now look at him.
Oh,
look at this little one. Every time I put him back in the basket, he climbs out again and makes straight for the hedge. He's like a wind-up doll.
Oh.
I suppose the kittens belong to the hotel.
Mm, a lot of hotels in Morocco keep cats, but you never see a dog around a hotel.
No, that's true. I've even seen people chasing them away. I wonder why.
Well, I've been told that Muslims believe cats are clean, but dogs are dirty. I think it may be even in their Bible, in the Quran.
Really? Oh, here comes their mother. She'll keep her kittens in line.
Oh. You're not traveling alone, are you? I didn't see any tour bus arrive.
Yep. I am alone. Are you with the group?
No, I'm alone, too. Now, that is unusual. Do you realize we may even be the only American women on our own in all Morocco at the moment?
I guess that's entirely possible. Dr. Livingston, I presume?
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, A Trip to Casablanca by Anitra Earle. Our star, Joan McCall.
Two American ladies have met by chance in the garden of a select hotel in Casablanca, each of them surprised to see another American, another woman traveling alone, even another tourist. It is off-season, and they have the elegant little hotel almost to themselves.
Did everyone at home tell you how brave you were to come to Morocco alone?
Yes, I guess they must have.
How long will you be staying here in Casablanca?
Well, I'm supposed to fly south tomorrow to Marrakesh, but I may just go home instead.
Go home without seeing Marrakesh?
Yes.
Oh, but you mustn't do that. It's a fairy tale city, my favorite place.
Oh, have you just come from there?
No, but this is my second trip to Morocco. I liked it so much 2 years ago that I came back to see it all over again.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. Marrakesh is worth seeing. It's just that I'm very tired. I want to go home. I've been traveling for a year.
A year? And all I have is a 3 weeks vacation.
My husband died a little over a year ago.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to go away and stay away as long as I could. Then maybe when I get back and start over, maybe it won't be so difficult.
I understand. You know, if I were you and I had a lot of time, I'd spend at least a week in the south, in Marrakesh. If you're tired, you could just lie around the pool and look at the sky. Ah, here are my tea and biscuits. Will you join me?
Oh, thank you. But I want to go to my room and have a shower and a nap. This heat wears me out. But perhaps we could have dinner together tonight if you're free.
Oh, yes. This hotel has lovely food. I stayed here on my last visit.
Shall we meet at 8 o'clock in the lounge?
That'd be fine. But I warn you, I promise to try and persuade you to stay in Morocco a little longer.
Tell me, don't you find it awfully hard to get from place to place in this country? I do. People here seem to operate on some time schedule that I haven't discovered yet.
No. Well, actually, yes, now that I think about it. In fact, 2 years ago, in the middle of the night, I took a taxi from Casablanca down to Marrakesh.
What? A taxi? Well, that's like taking a taxi from New York to Boston.
Almost.
Why did you do that?
I was tired of Casablanca, and there was no other transportation.
And in the middle of the night, you are adventurous.
Well, we'll have to compare notes on our travels this evening.
Yes, 8 o'clock then. Oh, my name is Claire.
How do you do? I'm Jean. See you at 8.
It is twilight now in the small but luxurious lounge of the hotel in Casablanca. Jean sits among the overstuffed cushions waiting for Claire, her new acquaintance, and the only other American she's seen on this trip. A waiter lights the colored glass lamp that swings from the ceiling. It casts multicolored patterns of light around the room. He opens the latticed mushrabiyeh windows to catch the evening breeze. Now we can hear the sound of the muezzin from the tower of a mosque nearby. He's calling the faithful Muslims of Casablanca to the last prayers of the day.
Madame will have to drink?
I'm waiting for another lady. Oh, here she is. A gin and tonic for me, please.
I'll have the same, thank you.
Oui.
Well, Jean, you'd be glad to know that I've decided to go to Marrakesh tomorrow after all.
Oh, good. But didn't you say you were flying?
I do have a reservation.
But you'll see so much more if you take the train. Or even a bus. I took a bus yesterday from Tangier. Of course, it wasn't air-conditioned. But even with a second-class ticket, you can sit right behind the driver for more leg room.
Ice, madame?
Oh, yes, please.
Thank you. No, Jean, you know, I don't think that's correct. A second-class ticket. No, that doesn't entitle you to sit in the front of the bus. Hmm? You must have bought a first-class ticket instead.
But I'm sure I paid for second class. It was so cheap, much cheaper than the train. Wait a minute. I have my passport case with me. Here. Here's my bus ticket. You see? Oh, no! Oh, I don't believe it. Is that what happened? Now I understand everything. Oh, but I'll never be able to make it up to him.
Him? Whom?
Hassan. His name was Hassan. Oh, I feel terrible.
Tell me!
Oh, dear. Well, I'll have to start at the beginning. It all began yesterday morning as I was paying my bill at my hotel in Tangier.
And 100. There is your change, madame.
Would you have a train schedule?
Please inquire of the concierge. He is the heavy man over there wearing a red fez.
Yes, of course. Thank you. Good day, monsieur. I need a train schedule.
Ah, yes. The train. Madame wishes perhaps the 3 o'clock train to Casablanca?
But how do you know where I'm going?
Madame's hotel reservation has the forwarding address next stop, Casablanca.
Oh, of course.
In order to take the 3 p.m. train, it is necessary to buy a ticket at 1 p.m. at the train depot.
Let's see, it's almost noon. All right, I'll go buy my ticket now, and when I return, I'll send for my luggage to be brought downstairs.
No, madame. The ticket window is not open yet.
What time does it open?
It is scheduled to open at noon, madame.
Ah, then I'll go at noon.
No, madame. It does not, in truth, open at noon. Not in many years.
In truth, when does it open?
In truth, it opens at 1 p.m.
Can't I buy my ticket closer to the 3 o'clock departure time so I won't have to take 2 trips to the station?
No, madame. If you arrive any time after 1 p.m. at the depot, all the tickets will already be sold.
Ah, only in Morocco. Well, thank you. I'll just walk to the train depot now and wait.
There is, however, another possibility.
Oh? And what's that?
There is an army gentleman, an officer in the Moroccan army, who will be glad to take Madame to Casablanca in his car.
There is? I don't see anyone. Besides, I don't know any army gentlemen. I prefer to take the train.
As you wish, madame.
The train depot is about 6 blocks to the left, isn't it? Down the Avenue d'Espagne?
That is correct. Madame wishes a taxi?
No, thank you. I'd like to walk alone next to the ocean.
Bonjour, madame.
Bonjour. Excuse me.
Madame, I have the honor to present...
Oh, the army gentleman you spoke of.
I am at your service, madame. I regret that until now I have been unable to deliver my compliments to madame in person. But perhaps the concierge has informed madame that I wish to place my car at her disposal for her journey to Casablanca today.
Yes, he has. But I'm taking the train.
My car is preferable, madame.
Oh?
To be sure, it is a very fine car, the best. A Mercedes-Benz. Red. Most comfortable.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very nice, but you see...
Also, air-conditioned. On the other hand, the train will be hot and dirty. And so public.
Public. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's just what I have in mind. Public.
The train is also very slow.
I don't care.
It makes many stops. In my car, Madame's journey need not be interrupted by such things.
No interruptions?
No interruptions. I have a chauffeur.
Aha. Somehow I'm not surprised. And what if I were to tell you that someone may be meeting my train at the other end in Casablanca?
We can leave now, immediately. We will arrive much sooner by car, and Madame will have more free time.
I think I see what you mean. And now, if you will excuse me, sir...
I am Colonel Rocco.
Yes, I'm sure you are. And no doubt you're very kind. But I'm taking the train.
Madame.
Jean and Claire are dining together this evening in Casablanca. Jean continues telling Claire the circumstances of her journey yesterday from Tangier. Yesterday morning, Jean left a very persistent army officer, one Colonel Rocco, behind in the hotel lobby and headed downtown to buy her train ticket.
I walked to the train depot along the sandy sidewalk next to the Bay of Tangier. My mind was elsewhere. Actually, I was trying to sort out the current rate of exchange and figure out whether I had just been overcharged on the hotel bill. I was startled when a young man walked up behind me and asked me the time of day in French.
Quelle heure est-il, madame?
I looked at my watch. It was 12:41. I couldn't remember how to say 12:41 in French, so I held out my wrist toward him so he could look at the time. Here, see for yourself.
Ah, you speak English. You are perhaps English?
Perhaps.
American?
Perhaps.
Ah, you are American. I can hear from your accent. What is it you are looking for, madame?
Nothing. I'm just having a last look around at the bay. It's such a beautiful color. Or rather, so many colors. From cobalt blue at the horizon to the palest icy green here at the shore. I hate to say goodbye to it.
You take the train to Casablanca, madame?
How did you know that?
Ahead of us, there is only the train depot and the bus terminal. Most of the tourists take the train. And the only train today is the train to Casablanca.
Oh.
But you should take the bus instead.
Should I? Why?
It runs more often, it gets there faster, as it makes fewer stops, and it is cheaper.
Really?
Oh, yes. In fact, if you will lend me the price of a ticket, I will accompany you to Casablanca.
Why would you want to do that?
I have relatives there.
Huh, what a coincidence.
Yes, madame. What does it mean, the word coincidence?
Something like good fortune.
Ah, yes, madame.
You speak very good English for such a young man.
Thank you. I am proud.
Did you learn it in school?
No, madame. My father lived some time in America many years past, in New York, New Jersey.
Do you mean Newark, New Jersey?
Yes, madame.
But why do you want me to lend you the price of a bus ticket? I don't understand.
I have no money in my kaftan. But before the bus comes, I will run home to get my money and my suitcase. Here we are now, in front of the bus terminal. What do you say, madame?
Well...
But there is no risk. You will hold the tickets while I am gone.
I don't know. Oh, look! What's happening inside the bus terminal? A minute ago, all those people were standing in one orderly line, and now they're climbing all over each other.
The ticket window has just opened. They are all trying to be waited on at the same time.
But there's only one clerk. He can't possibly wait on everyone at the same time. Oh, and I can't possibly get waited on either. Not in that crush of humanity.
No, madame. You had better let me buy your ticket for you.
Oh, all right, you win. Get one for yourself, too. How much for 2 second-class tickets?
14.
That's all? Here you are.
Thank you. I will return in moments.
He dived into the crowd as if he were diving into the ocean and completely disappeared. I felt rather silly paying this young man's way for him. But as he said, I would be holding the tickets. What did I have to lose? I couldn't imagine why he should want to go all the way to Casablanca on the spur of the moment to visit his relatives. But that was his business, after all, and if worse came to worst, and he didn't show up at the time the bus was ready to leave, well, I could always get a refund on his unused ticket. He reappeared in no time at all.
Here you are, madame. 2 second-class tickets.
He grinned and bowed and thanked me in the name of Allah. Then he took off at a run. There is an enormous flight of stone steps that divide the city of Tangier into 2 parts, an upper half and a lower half. He was running up these steps when I called after him. What is your name?
Hassan!
I watched him run to the top of the ancient stone stairs. Then I turned and made my way around the edge of the marketplace. It was very crowded at midday. There were many women wearing jellabas with veils over their faces, shopping 2 by 2 with baskets over their arms. Camel drivers cursing their bad-tempered camels that growled back at them. Boys in caftans weaving through the crowd on bicycles and ringing their warning bells. And several of those old men you see wearing the white turbans that mean they've made the holy pilgrimage to Mecca, riding on their tiny burros. I bought some fruit to eat on the bus trip, and then I broke away from the crowded marketplace. I walked back toward my hotel the way I'd come, along the edge of the Bay of Tangier. When I was about halfway there, I noticed a car following at a discreet distance behind me, a shiny red Mercedes-Benz. If I stopped, the car would stop. If I ran to catch a green light, the car would catch up too. It was following me very, very slowly. I looked around me. As far as I could see in any direction, I was the only foreigner. And the only woman who wasn't wearing a veil.
During dinner with Claire, Jean continues relating the story of her journey to Casablanca. It was perfectly clear to Jean that the red Mercedes following her belonged to Colonel Rocco, and that the Colonel apparently was not accustomed to taking no for an answer.
When I reached my hotel, just before going through the revolving door, I glanced behind me. Happily, the Colonel's red car was nowhere to be seen. I walked to the front desk. They have an odd habit in Tangier hotels of shutting off the water in the afternoons, which can be most inconvenient. I learned from the concierge that I would have just enough time for a swim in the hotel pool and a shower before the water would be turned off for the rest of the day. I decided to take advantage of it. The bus ride to Casablanca would be long and hot. I climbed out of the swimming pool. As I walked from the blazing sunshine into the dark back hallway to go upstairs to my room, I was startled to see a figure suddenly loom up in front of me out of the shadows, blocking my way.
Madame, I am at your service.
Oh, good day, Colonel.
If you will look just there, through that window at the far end of the lobby, you will see my car parked.
Yes, Colonel. I believe I have already noticed your car earlier today.
I await your instructions, Madame.
I'm afraid I have no instructions for you at all, Colonel. Will you excuse me? But he didn't step aside. He was still blocking my way. He was a very forbidding-looking man, tall and stern. He may never have smiled in his whole life. His hair was cropped as close to the skull as possible. It made his head look like a bullet. and every feature of his face was hard and sharp. He looked as if he were entirely made of painted steel. Even his gray army officer's uniform was so flat and hard that it seemed to be painted onto his body. I think if I'd been one of his poor young recruits who had to serve under any command of his, I would have found a way to desert the army. He was certainly not what anybody would have called an easygoing man. And I did wish he wouldn't click his heels like that. This morning he had probably bribed the concierge to tell him where I was going. I wondered when he would finally give up. The conversation seemed to go on and on. I stood there dripping water on the marble floor, holding my wet towel close around me and slapping at the vicious flies that were biting me. I didn't think this was a fair arrangement, since I noticed that none of the flies were attempting to bite him. They wouldn't dare. I tried to figure out how to get away from him as gracefully as possible. He seemed to think I didn't understand. He wanted to take me to Casablanca, or at least that's where he said he wanted to take me. And as far as he was concerned, that was that. It never seemed to occur to him that I didn't want to go with him.
Madame will not wish to take the train. Madame will be far more comfortable in my car.
I'm sorry, but I simply cannot change my plans. I've already made other arrangements.
I assure you, Madame, that we will depart at the hour you prefer.
May I thank you once more for your gracious offer? But it is not possible for me to go with you. Good day, Colonel.
Madame.
When I arrived at the bus terminal, I looked around for young Hassan, but I didn't see him anywhere. I stood behind the bus at the baggage compartment until I saw that the baggage handler had padlocked my luggage inside of it. Then I walked around to the front and climbed up the steps to have one last look around for Hassan. Finally, I boarded the bus and glanced at the faces of the other passengers, but Hassan was not there. I was the only foreigner, as usual. I sat down on the seat just behind the driver next to an open window. There were two veiled women sitting across the aisle from me. Just as the driver was about to close the doors, an enormously fat man got on the bus and sat down on the seat right next to me. He looked like a southerner from Marrakesh. He wore a long striped caftan and a yellow crocheted skull cap on his curly hair. He had very soft features, wide nostrils, and grayish brown eyes with long eyelashes. He was so large that he completely blocked my view of the door. I couldn't even see the aisle. Of course, I wondered why Hassan hadn't shown up, but there was nothing I could do about it. I put his ticket, together with my own punch ticket, in my passport case. My seatmate from Marrakesh immediately fell asleep and snored a little from time to time. The bus moved quickly out of the city and through the suburbs of Tangier, and then out onto the open road. The countryside wasn't very interesting to look at, and I must have fallen asleep myself after a while. I woke up to the sound of a loud car horn. All the passengers in the bus turned around in their seats to see what was happening and stared out the windows. I stared too. It was a big white taxicab roaring up the highway behind us, honking like mad for the bus to pull over. The bus stopped, the door flew open, and the bus driver jumped out and walked quickly back to the big white taxicab. The door of the taxi opened just then, and out stepped Hassan, suitcase in hand. He had come all the way in a cab to catch the bus to Casablanca. Hassan and the bus driver exchanged some words in front of the taxi for a moment, and apparently the bus driver gave him permission to board the bus and look for me since I had his ticket. The taxi made a U-turn and headed back to Tangier. Just as Hassan was getting on the bus, the fat man next to me leaned forward in his seat to see what was going on. So Hassan couldn't see me at all. I was completely blocked from his view. Hassan walked up the aisle to look for me, followed by the bus driver. I suddenly began to feel very embarrassed that I had bought Hassan's ticket for him. I wondered what the veiled ladies across the aisle from me would think. Here I was, a tourist, and the only foreigner on the bus, and paying the fare of a Moroccan man at least 10 years younger than I am. I could feel my cheeks burning. I opened my passport case to get his ticket out. Hassan came striding back down the aisle again with a bus driver hot on his heels. I reached up. The fat man was still leaning forward. I slipped my arm between the fat man and the back of the seat and slipped Hassan his ticket so that nobody else saw me do it. Hassan snatched the ticket up with a cry of triumph and waved it at the bus driver.
Hadiya, magilti lak fi efrenjia al autobus ana bitakti.
Hada shmaknaha. Tritothak aleya. Ibn leta ebni. La burra. Yela ishni bosara.
And Hassan was promptly thrown off the bus. Completely bewildered. I turned to the fat man next to me and asked him why Hassan had been put off the bus. The fat man shrugged and looked thoughtful. Finally, he said,
Kul shminara, madam.
I beg your pardon? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
All things are from Allah, madam. Kul shminara.
Oh, I see. The fat man went back to sleep. I turned in my seat to look out the window at the road behind us. The big white taxi had long since departed. The highway was deserted, except for Hassan, who stood completely alone in the blazing sun in the middle of the highway, suitcase in hand, gazing forlornly after the bus. Just then we passed a road sign saying that the nearest village was 12 miles back. I felt very sorry for Hassan. I was just about to turn around and face the front again, when something red in the distance caught my eye. I craned my neck to see. It was a red car coming up the road behind us, a shiny red Mercedes-Benz. I saw Hassan raise his arm as the car approached him. He was hoping for a lift in our direction. But the red car never slowed down. Hassan had to jump aside to get out of its way. As the hours passed, I looked back from time to time to see the red car continuing to follow us at a discreet distance. I had not seen the last of Colonel Rocco.
Here's the fourth act of A Trip to Casablanca.
Night had fallen by the time we pulled into downtown Casablanca. I climbed down from the bus right behind the fat man from Marrakesh. It was like walking behind a large tent. As I was standing at the rear of the bus and waiting for my bags, I suddenly saw the red Mercedes-Benz nearby with its engine running. Colonel Rocco was standing at attention next to the open door of his car and conferring with a bus driver. I imagine the colonel must have been saying,
How could you not have seen a tall, blonde woman on your bus?
The bus driver was shrugging, and the colonel looked as if he meant business. Naturally, the colonel had parked his car so that none of the passengers could go from the bus into the terminal without walking right past him. I knew I couldn't possibly go along with the other passengers without his spotting me. I looked in the other direction, to the left. Nothing but six lanes of fast-moving cars. But I had no choice. I bribed the baggage handler to bring my bags out first. Then I ran a few feet into the street and saw a taxi cruising with its lights on, three lanes away. Taxi! I ran back to the baggage handler. I grabbed all five pieces of my baggage at one time and darted out into the traffic. I raced through the three lanes of traffic and leaped into the cab. And the cab sped away to my hotel. I had escaped Colonel Rocco at last. And so, here I am. Isn't this delicious pigeon pie?
Yeah, wonderful. You don't suppose it's made out of real pigeons, do you?
Well, I would imagine so. Why, Claire, what's the matter?
Nothing. It just tasted better a minute ago.
Mm.
think I'll wait for dessert. But is that the end of the story? Didn't you ever find out what happened to poor Hassan?
Well, it wasn't until this evening, when I pulled that ticket out of my passport case to show you, that I realized what I'd done to him. In my embarrassment to slip him his bus ticket without anyone else seeing me do it, I grabbed the wrong ticket. I slipped him my ticket, the one that had already been punched. I gave him a used ticket.
No.
Naturally, the bus driver thought he was trying to pull a fast one, so he put him off the bus.
Oh.
Hassan may still be walking back to Tangier for all I know, and it's all my fault. He must think I'm the cruelest woman he ever met. And I have no way to apologize for what happened or to explain it to him. I'm not planning to go back to Tangier, and I can't write him. I don't know where he lives or even his last name. Can you imagine how many thousands of men in Tangier are named Hassan?
Well, don't worry, Jean. Perhaps he'll realize that it was only a mistake. And anyway, look on the bright side. You can still get a refund on his unused ticket.
Yeah, I suppose I can. I'll write to the bus company before I go to bed tonight. As for Hassan, I guess all I can do to make up for his long walk home is to try and do a good turn for the very next Moroccan I meet.
Oh, that's a nice idea. But don't forget, you did buy Hassan's bus ticket for him in the first place.
Yeah.
Not many people would have done that. I wouldn't worry too much about him. You never know what he might have had in mind.
Oh, I think he was a rather harmless young man. Very wholesome looking. Unlike Colonel Rocco, who was really quite a sinister character. I'm glad to see the last of him.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, will you have some dessert?
I think just coffee. And you?
I haven't decided. Did they have pastries here?
I can't remember. Here's the waiter.
Waiter, what are you doing? We didn't order any champagne. There must be some mistake.
No, madame. It is from an army officer. Colonel wishes to...
Good evening, ladies.
Oh, no.
I am Colonel Rocco. At your service, ladies. I hope that you will allow me to have the privilege to provide you with some champagne.
Thank you, but we have...
How very generous of you, Colonel. Won't you sit down?
If madame will permit me.
Oh, yes, please do.
Waiter, is this the best champagne in the hotel?
Mais oui, colonel, the very finest.
Good. I am satisfied. Ladies, to your health.
Oh, to yours, Colonel. Jean, your health?
Yes. Cheers.
Colonel, my friend here was just telling me a most interesting story about a young man yesterday in Tangier who asked her to lend him the price of a bus ticket. He said he wanted to come with her here to Casablanca to visit his relatives. Now, what do you suppose he was up to?
Perhaps he was impressed by her beauty.
Thank you.
And her blonde hair is very rare to see in this country. But, of course, brunette ladies like yourself, madame...
Oh, Claire. My name is Claire.
Claire. A lovely name. Most suitable. As I said, brunette ladies like yourself are also most charming, to be sure.
Oh, but now you're talking almost about another generation, Colonel. I have grandchildren at home in the United States.
No. Madame is mistaken. Surely you are joking. That cannot be.
Yes, I'm sure she is joking, Colonel Rocco. She looks much too young and attractive. Don't you agree?
I agree entirely.
You are both too kind.
And now... you must excuse me. I'm really very tired. I've had a long day. Oh, no, no, Colonel. Please don't get up.
Jean, you're not leaving.
Yes, but you must stay. There's still a lot of champagne there for the two of you to drink. Colonel, thank you. And, Claire, you must give me a call in the morning. On your way to Marrakesh. Good night.
Good night, madame.
Good night, Jean.
Claire, are you traveling to Marrakesh? I have a car.
right, Colonel Rocco and Claire. May you live happily ever after. Oh, the letter to the bus company. I'll never remember unless I do it now. Paper. Envelope. Pen? Ah, pen. Hello? Front desk, please. Yes, good evening. This is room 865. Can you give me the address here in Casablanca of the... the Compagnie Auxiliaire de Transports au Maroc. Yes, the bus company. Thank you. Yes? Yes? Yes. Thank you again. Good night. Gentlemen, enclosed is an unused second-class ticket, Tangier, to Casablanca. Please refund the purchase price to me in care of my hotel in Marrakesh, where I shall be staying in 2 weeks' time. A copy of my itinerary is enclosed. Thank you. Very truly.
Jean managed to solve the problem of Colonel Rocco, but she never did get an answer from the Moroccan bus company.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, A Trip to Casablanca, was written by Anitra Earle and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Leonard Nimoy. Our star was Joan McCall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Shepard Mencken, Corey Burton, Marvin Miller, and Larry Moss. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. Associate Director of Mutual Radio Theater is Ken McManus. Sound effects were created by Bud Tollefson. Mark Trella is Production Supervisor. Recording Engineer, Hal McDonald. Music Editor, Lee Ringette. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears, a name that means quality and value. A name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Lorne Greene. Listen in on Monday for another story about the West, as it was then, as it is now.